Amen. There is a situation happening outside our church building right now. You're unaware of it because you've been so busy worshiping the Lord. And there are police outside because of a domestic disturbance from nobody in this church, but from people that happened to be passing by in a car, and they just needed to stop in the church because of a domestic disturbance, arguing, and the woman needed refuge, and she ran into the church foyer here. And it's not coincidence that this woman came to church here several years ago with a women's rehabilitation group. She was a part of the group, and she just wanted to visit, with the church ministry that she was a part of, and they were doing a little program here, and it was good to see her just now, not under these circumstances, of course. But I believe that the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because of the veil that I'm about to talk about in this message. And I believe that when things happen for a reason. And I believe that, the Bible says that demons, when they are cast out, they run to familiar places when they come back. And the same it is with the people of God. When the people of God sometimes, whether they stray away or whether they lose their way, they always come back to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is calling on them. The Lord is calling on them to come home. The Lord is calling on them because He is full of grace and mercy. Now, a lot of people do things in this world that we just do not understand why. We do not understand why. I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about why Christians do sometimes the things they ought not to do. I want to talk about why unbelievers do the things they continue to do that are wrong as well. Let me read this. In 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4, it says this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. The message today is they don't understand. In Luke 23, 34, it says, as Jesus was on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and they cast lots. And today, we have been given such a precious gift. And sadly, many are selling out Jesus like Judas did. Many are dividing the things of God in today like they did then at the cross. They are taking the precious things of God and they're dividing it for a profit, for gain in this world. When the Bible says, what profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? I'm talking to you this morning because this might be the last time you can respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know as for me in my walk with Jesus, I'm going to glory because Jesus has promised me. Jesus has given me his blessing. And I boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will brag in the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because He saved my soul and I repented of my sins. Amen? And that is all that I cling on to in this life. That is all that I hold on to because nothing else matters and nothing else can get me to the promised land but only the repentance through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's my treasure. That's my ticket. That's my hope. That is the riches of life for me. It's my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not called to try and convince anybody, but just to spread this message, the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, this good news that we preach, he said, is hidden behind a veil. Now, I want you to understand something here. A veil. It's something that obstructs your view. You can see through a veil, but not very clearly. And so spiritually speaking, in this context of scripture, it's spiritual. and it's a veil that's covering your face, let's say black for darkness, and you may be able to see through the veil in regards to looking at Jesus through this veil. You may be able to, you know, people have heard of Jesus, but they don't know the truth about Jesus. You get what I'm saying? People have heard about going to church, but they don't understand the power of going to church and being in true Christian fellowship. People have heard and seen the pictures, so to speak, that Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross, but they don't understand the true message of the cross. The message of the cross says that we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Amen. By his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. And so for the Christian, that's good news. As a matter of fact, that's great news. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we go through the fire. And sometimes we get burned. Not of our own doing, sometimes of our own doing. But because of his wounds, but because of his stripes, but because of his blood, we are healed. We are delivered. Amen. Woo! But for those who do not believe, they continue to look at the things of God through a veil. Let's read this again in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. Let's read this one more time. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Jesus said, if you've seen him, you've seen God. Jesus said, he and the Father are one. And it's Jesus who is the lover of your soul. It's Jesus who's the creator of your soul. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Look, when you live your life on the foundation of and the teachings of Jesus Christ, this world and those whom you love in this world will hate you. Those who do not know Christ will hate you because they hate Christ. And a lot of people will not fully submit to Jesus because they're not ready to let go of people in this world. They're not ready to let go of their misery, of their depression, of their darkness, of their hidden sin. But you need to let go so that God could take hold of you. It's either all about Jesus or it's all about you. Choose today whom you will serve. Guard your eyes. Guard your heart. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can say no to sin, my brother and sister in Christ. You can say no to sin today, and you can say yes to sin. You will reap the consequences. But if you say no, you reap the blessing, the rewards of heaven. And Jesus looked on the cross, Jesus looked at them and Jesus said, Father, he wasn't speaking to the world. He wasn't speaking to himself as you and I are taught. He was speaking to the Father. And so many of us haven't spoke to the Father in so long. We're good at writing down a journal. We're good at just thinking we're talking to God, but we're really talking to ourselves. Some of us haven't talked to God in a long time. Some of us haven't talked to the Father in a long time. Now, I'm preaching now. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. Amen? Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. You see, when you're talking to the Father, you're going to have a heart of love, a heart of forgiveness. You don't look to the sins of all these other people, but you look and you say, Father, forgive them. Only Jesus could have said that because Jesus was the only righteous, and he still is the only righteous one. We did him wrong. And yet he said, forgive them. I want you to think about the sins you've committed as a Christian. And that loneliness that you felt when it drove you from the cross. That's a bad place, ain't it? It's a bad feeling, isn't it? Come back to the Lord. Come back to the Lord. It's one thing to know about, you know, all of these conspiracy theories that are happening in the world or going on. Some are true, some are false. So many Christians are bogged down in politics. So many Christians are bogged down with this and with that. They forget the simplicity of the gospel. They can't even present the gospel to an unbeliever. Sitting down and talking to an unbeliever and explaining to them the sinful man who is in need of the Savior. The simplicity of the gospel. You see, these unbelievers don't understand. And sadly, sometimes Christians drive themselves into a place where they don't understand anymore either. A lot of times I'll be sitting in or walking around, I'm like, Lord, I just don't understand. I just don't understand, Lord. And Lord, I am mad, Lord, but I don't understand, but I trust in you and I release my anger to you, Lord. I'm going to trust in you, Lord. Because in the end, you always work it out. Amen. You always work it out, Lord. You always make a way. You always open those doors that need to be opened, and you shut those doors that need to be shut. You've always been faithful to me, Lord. You have never let me down. Even when I did, you didn't. You were always faithful to me, Lord. You were always on time. You always brought deliverance. You've always brought healing. You've always have been faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:14-16. Let's talk about this veil. It says, Paul goes and says to the church, he says, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, he's speaking about the Jews, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on the heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Only when you turn to Jesus are you able to have understanding according to the will of God. Amen? You ever sat down with an unbeliever and they're so in their words and in their tone, they're violent when it comes about Jesus? It's because they're speaking on, because the veil, and though they can see through the veil a little bit, they can see Jesus a little bit, but because it's distorted, the God of this world has blinded them. And so they see through the veil, but they cannot see fully. And so therefore they believe the lies that the enemy is continually to tell them about Jesus, about his church, about the Bible. And it's only getting worse and worse, because in my day as a senior pastor, I have seen more and more Bible-believing Christians walk away, drift away from the call of God. And that is so sad, because it's not the pastor's fault. It's not the church member's fault, the people in the pews. It's just an attack from Satan. Satan has come to uproot you. Satan has come to destroy you. And he is very clever. He is very powerful. He's very subtle in the way he does things, because he's been doing this since ancient times. He's very patient. And he has a legion of fallen angels at his beck and call who do not have to punch a time card, do not have to sleep. They watch you morning, noon, and night. But I thank God for Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit is upon his children. I thank God, Jesus Christ, I thank you that your hand is upon us. That though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. He is with us. He is a lamp upon our feet. And so that is why my hope, my job, my obligation is for you, Christian, to keep your eyes on Jesus. I preach and teach so that you may understand the necessity and the choice that you must keep your hope, your expectations, your desires on Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the one who was and is to come. Amen. One day, When all is said and done, these walls, these wooden beams are going to speak. Because when the Lord comes, He's going to bring everything back to life. These beams were once a part of a living tree. And God's going to bring everything back to life. And these beams are going to speak of the gospel that was spoken all the years that this church building existed. And God is raising up an army right now. And as I sadly see more and more people walking away from the cross every day, it's just an attack from Satan. Stop. About face. And go back to the cross. Go back to Jesus. Because that is where you find victory. Hallelujah. The veil remains for those who have not turned to the Lord. The veil, it remains for those who do not turn to the Lord. And Christian, if you do not turn to the Lord in every life situation, Christian, if you do not turn to the Lord in every life situation, you allow the veil to once again possibly fall upon you. And you've lost your way. And therefore, you fall into human secularism, human understanding, human reasoning. I put a post up on Facebook a while back about one of the most famous preachers here in America, here in Houston. And I had some people comment and some people private message me about, you know, why would I say something like that towards this pastor? And I flat out said, because he is involved in human secularism. He puts the power on self, not on Jesus. When he says, I am blessed. I am this. I am that. God told Moses in the wilderness, I am. That's my name. I am. And so when Joel teaches you to say, to take the title of I am, it's so much deeper than just a post that I post. It's human secularism that he teaches. People get mad. Michael, you should just stick to the gospel. Hey, I stick to the gospel. Okay? What do you think, what do you call Paul in the Bible calling Peter a hypocrite? What do you think that was? What do you call Paul several times naming people by name, calling them false teachers? He's defending the gospel. And that is what I'm doing. So you're either for Jesus or you're against Jesus. Look, if you're going to sit on a couch with Oprah Winfrey and talk about there's other ways to get to heaven, agree on that, on her religion, you are not a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that offends you, so be it. Change the channel. But I'm going to go into heaven with a right heart. Let me tell you something. You think what I say offends you? Wait till when the Antichrist comes. I too have heard. I too have seen things that I've never shared with anybody or ever will, because God has not allowed me to. That there will be many in the church, millions, that will fall at the deception of this Antichrist. Banking on the rapture. It will happen, but not at the timetable that you expect. 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 17 says this, but thanks be to God, hallelujah, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us reveals the fragrance of the knowledge of Him in every place. Now let that soak in for a moment. This passage is so important to understand what we're about to read here. Christian, you are the fragrance of Christ. Christian, you are the fragrance of Him. You have Jesus all over you. And we are obligated to be a light in a dark place. We have the knowledge of Christ. Therefore, we have the wisdom of God. It's available to us. James says, ask God for wisdom, and He will give it to you abundantly. Let's read this again, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us reveals the fragrance of the knowledge of Him in every place. Through us. We reveal the fragrance of the knowledge in every part of the world. Verse 15, for we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are the fragrance of Christ to the world, not just to the Christians, but to unbelievers. I don't really put on a whole lot of cologne on Sunday mornings because I'm going to give you a headache. But this morning I put on some cologne and I walked out the door and Marcus says, hey, brother, you smell good. I'm like, well, thank you. I'm like, you know, and it reminded me of this scripture. Wherever we go, they have to smell Jesus on us. Amen. Oh, you didn't get what I just said. They have to smell Jesus on us. See, sometimes some of those who are walking around, we smell hellfire. We can smell brimstone on them because they've been hanging out with the devil. But if we've been hanging out with Jesus, they're going to smell Jesus on us. Amen. And you can't fool your brothers and sisters in Christ because we all have the Spirit of Christ in us. Verse 16, to the one, an aroma from death to death, and to the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Let me stop right there, verse 17. You know why they hate the Christian? Because they smell us, and they're reminded of their death that's coming because of their rejection of the cross. Did you hear what I just said? And you know why we are an encouragement to the rest of the body of Christ? Because they smell us, other Christians, and we are a reminder of the blessed hope to come. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 17 says this, for we are not like the many peddling the word of God, but as a sincerity, but as from God we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Look, Paul is defending his ministry here. Paul is saying, I'm not like these other preachers who preach for money. Though it does take money to run a ministry in America. But we translate that into worship, because that is truly what it is in God's eyes. Worship. Obedience. But Paul is saying, but I don't peddle around this word of God for money. And let me tell you something. I firmly believe that the true Bible-believing preachers who do not get much support financially from the congregation for the church ministry, God still makes a way supernaturally. He does. But sometimes God closes those churches. The minister is taught from the Word of God to just move on and go to the next town and continue. But I have seen where those ministers get discouraged and they just quit altogether. You see, it was a test not only for the church, but it was a test also for that minister. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes churches close. But that doesn't mean that the minister has to stop speaking. It doesn't mean that the people in the church members have to stop serving. We keep going forward. And every church Satan has targeted, this one especially, in the past couple of years, we have been losing member after member. We have been losing people in the ministry, have been dropping off one by one. This ministry is hurting tremendously. But we're still standing strong because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 And as long as the Lord sustains us, we will always preach the gospel in this place. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But we're not the only ones going like through this trial as a church. All of the Bible-believing churches are going through the fire. They're going through the fire. Because Satan knows that this is coming against his kingdom. and he feels the attacks that come against his kingdom. And that is where the warfare comes from. It comes from the kingdom of Satan to those who were truly representing Christ on this earth. And so to all who are at Grace Christian Center, dig in, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and sow into the kingdom of God. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. And I pray, I speak to the chosen. The Lord be with you. Now, when you have the veil that's over your face, you begin to have a reinterpretation of God, family, and gender. I could go through the scriptures, but you know what's going out there in society today. We see the reinterpretation of God. We see the reinterpretation of family, and we see the reinterpretation of gender. We see it. So I don't have to go through scripture because you know what I'm talking about. But look at what Isaiah 5, 20 through 21 says. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Human secularism. That is that religion right there. They're wise in their own eyes and they're prudent in their own sight. They're depending on self. That is basically what human secularism, the false religion, teaches. And many, many, many teachers in the churches across the nation teach human secularism. Because you worship by feeling. Because we need all these theatrics in the church. We need all these programs to make us feel like, oh, things are going on. And this is a human understanding that when you see this stuff, oh, then God must be in this place. When countless times in the Bible, the great moves of God always began with prayer, and they always began with a humbling of a people. So I'll never boast in me, because there's nothing in me to boast about, but only in Jesus. I woke up this morning and I said, Lord, oh Lord, I'm tired. But I get to preach today. Hallelujah, I'm getting up. And I got up early and I got up, I turned the lights on, I turned everything on. And then by the time I know it, I'm getting excited and I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord says, why don't you hop on that treadmill and walk? And I get on that treadmill and I do a couple of miles this morning on the treadmill. And I'm like, all right, I'm going. And I take a shower. I put on that cologne that Marcus talked about and I'm doing good. I'm going. And here I am to you right now. And hey, you know what? God is good. Praise God that I'm not laying in a hospital bed. Praise God that I'm not sick in my room and suffering in a dark place. Praise God that I get to get up with a sound mind, unlike King Nebuchadnezzar, who had to live out in the field like a cow for 7 years until he got free from human secularism. Amen. He said, look at all that I have done. Look at my hand, what I created. And God said, beep, you're a cow. Read the Bible. Nails grew long, hair grew long, 7 years eating grass out in the field. Like that's the king. Yes. That's the king. I'm surprised he didn't lose his kingdom in those 7 years. He was that feared. But God wasn't afraid of him. Men may be, well, you may be bad in front of men. You ain't nothing in the eyes of God. God will make you a cow. Who are we to dare think that we can come against God? He loves you. Submit to Him. And He will care for you all the days of your life. But if you want, choose your own. Be depressed. Be sick. Be poor in spirit. You have not. Because you ask not. Now, I'm not talking about all this money in the bank. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about life abundant. Amen? Amen. Our treasures are in heaven. And every day, we're sending treasures on to heaven. You do what you do, I do what I do, and God's going to do what he has to do. And it's all for his glory. But woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who teach these little ones to sin. It would be better if they had never been born. It would be better if a millstone was tied around their neck, thrown into the sea, into the depths of the ocean. It would be better for them if they lead any of these little ones astray. They're reinterpreting God, family, gender, marriage. Why? Because of the veil. Because of the veil. Hebrews 13, 8 through 9 says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He does not change. Amen. Men are changing, they change in the Bible, but the Bible doesn't change and Jesus does not change. Verse 9, do not be misled by varied and strange teachings. For it is good for the hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by food, meaning religion, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. He's saying food here because back then in ancient times, when they worshiped God, it always involved offering foods and not eating certain foods and things like that. The Jews, the writer is speaking here to the Jews in the book of Hebrews. Okay, so that is basically what he's referring to, falling into religion. No, but it's by grace. It's by grace that we're strengthened. Do not be misled into these false teachings. The agnostics were already there. Do not be misled today. The false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist is here. Do not be misled. Stick to the written word of God. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Heretical preachers and worldly wisdom does not produce godly sorrow. Let me say this again. Heretical preachers, false preachers that is, and worldly wisdom does not produce godly sorrow. And that is what is required from God. Godly sorrow. Look, let me read this to you. But if you have bitter, James 3, 14 through 17, it says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Meaning if you live like the world, if you live like the world, you're lying against the truth. Because you're falling into human secularism. You're falling into the lie that the devil's given to you. Look at the next verse, 15. Look, this wisdom does not descend from heaven, from above, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic. When you think like the world, it's demonic. Verse 16, the next verse. For where envy and self-seeking exist, again, human secularism is about yourself. Confusion and every evil thing are there. The veil is there. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, meaning heaven, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. That is a whole lot to swallow right there, so go ahead and swallow it. The things that God gives you will bring purity, peace, gentleness, a willing to yield to Him, to the Holy Spirit in all things. You'll be full of mercy. You'll be full of good things that God will make you do in your life to bless others. And you'll be without partiality, meaning you're not going to have racism in your heart. You're not going to have, you know, individualism in your heart. You're going to do things for the sake of the whole. Everything you do is for the sake of the whole. You get what I'm saying? Look, what my wife and I do, we always do with the church in mind. Even planning our vacations, even planning personal things, we always do with the church in mind. Not just because it's our job, but it's because we love the people that are here. That's why. And so when all Christians operate like that, how much more beautiful will the place of God be? And without hypocrisy, hypocrites. We've all failed God, so don't point the finger at other people when they fail God. But just love them, pray for them, and win them back to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, but godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. See, because some people have a sorrow. Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus, I'm sorry. But if it doesn't produce repentance, it was not really sorrow. Look, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. There's a lot of people that come into the church and say, oh, Lord, if you give me another chance. Oh, Lord, just help me, Lord, please. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, God, I need help. Oh, to me. But there's no repentance of sin. There was no sorrow at all. And guess what? That lifestyle, it only leads to eternal damnation. And you can fool the preacher. You can fool your mama and daddy, your brothers and sisters, but you cannot fool the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot fool him. He knows if there's true, genuine sorrow and repentance in your heart. So you can come to church and do all you want. You can play in the band. You can give money. You can serve in the back, serve in the front. You can do whatever you want. But if there's not a godly sorrow and a repentance in your heart every day for Jesus, you've just wasted your time. And right now, time is all you have. So be a good steward of your time. See, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says this. For we are not in 2 Corinthians 2:11, I'm sorry. So that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. You hear that? We ought to know what Satan is doing. Why? Because he does the same thing over and over and over. He's an old dog. You don't learn new tricks. Ah, this is an attack from the devil. Why? Because this happened to me a couple years back. This happened to brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. This is just an attack from the devil. We are to be aware of the plans that he is bringing against the church. We're to be aware of it. So when we rejoice and trust in the Lord, this battle will be done very quickly with, because we're not going to fall for it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Ephesians 4:27 says this, nor give place to the devil. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil the time of day. Your time is for Jesus. Amen? Do not give a place to the devil. Satan should have no place to stand in your life, in your spiritual ears. Nowhere. He has no place. Behind me, Satan. Isn't that what Jesus said? Satan came up to Jesus and he goes, you know, hey, I want to sift Peter as wheat. Well, we know that Jesus says to Peter, Peter, Satan has asked me to sift you as wheat. Amen? Satan needs permission to destroy your life. But we know God doesn't want your life destroyed. But God does want you. God, it's funny. Look, you're a sheep, okay? You're a sheep. And he's leading you to holiness and righteousness. He's leading you to the pastures of holiness and righteousness. But if that veil is over your face once again, Christian, how can you find the pasture of holiness and the pastures of righteousness? You're a sheep. He's leading you to greener pastures. It is greener on the other side. In Jesus' name. And he's leading you there. So you can't get there if you give Satan a place in your life. If there's something in your life that does not belong, you have to be willing to yield it to the Lord. I yield it to you, Lord. I let it go. It's no longer mine. And James 4:7, the most easiest instructions to victory. Therefore, submit to God, number one. Submit to God, number two. Resist the devil, And number three, and the devil will flee from you. You don't even have to do that. He does that. So there's just two things you have to do. Submit to God and resist the devil. Say, Lord, I'm choosing your way. Devil, behind me. And that's what Jesus said. He said, he even said that to Peter, behind me. He was talking to Peter and he said, Peter, Satan has asked me to sift you as wheat. And then Peter says something else later on. Peter says, behind me, Satan, for you have not the plans of God. He said this, but Peter was talking to him, but he was saying, behind me, Satan, because he really wasn't directing it to Peter, even though Peter was talking to him. He was saying this because Peter was unknowingly speaking to God through the veil. And Jesus spoke not to Peter, but to Satan, who was whispering to Peter. Behind me, Satan. And you see, sometimes we think we're talking to Jesus, but we're talking with the mind of the world, and we have to stop that. We have to surrender that. Look, resist the devil, submit to God, and the devil will flee from you. So this is what I say in closing. Get a spiritual backbone in Jesus' name. Amen? Get a spiritual backbone in Jesus' name. What does it mean? Take some accountability in your life. Take some responsibility on in the church. Take this name of Jesus serious. Don't be easy to bend. North, east, south, and west. That's what they want, for you to bend your knee to their will. But the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Christ, to the glory of the Father. Get a spiritual backbone in Jesus' name. Yes. Say, that is wrong. I love you, but you're wrong. That's murder. That's not women's choice. That's abortion. That's murder. Yeah. The preacher of the gospel will always direct you to the Word of God. The preacher of the gospel will always direct you to Jesus. The preacher of the gospel will always direct you to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you really believing this? Yes. Come on, church. I cannot be the only one raising my voice in this place. Truth is being spoken. Let's rejoice in this. Let me close with this. The veil that's over the faces, they don't understand. That's what we've heard. It's what we've read. Now, this movie that came out recently, and it has some colorful words. Why? Because it's supposedly made by a Christian producer, filmmaker, Angel Studios. And I'm not saying they're Christian or they're not. I'm not saying that, but there's some colorful words in this movie. Why? To make it seem real, because it is real. It's a true story. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why they would have to use colorful words, but they did. But the point I'm trying to make right now is the movie Sound of Freedom that's out right now. It's highlighting what has been going on in the world. Child sex trafficking, child abduction. We've seen it, we've heard it, and it's the biggest industry in the world. $150 billion a year is spent on this demonic illegal trade. Now, they're kidnapped from all over the world. And this movie just highlights just one instance of what they do with these children. Where they kidnap these children, they'll send them to an island with nothing but rich men, mostly most of the time Americans, and they have their ways with them sexually. Young little kids, teenager girls, boys too. And these majority of the people, the movie says that America is the number one consumer for this. There are more people than you realize in your midst who are pedophiles, who are evil and perverted and wicked in mind. They just arrested a man up in New York City. They believe he's been the serial killer, Long Island serial killer, that he's killed many, many people a decade ago. They finally caught him. And they're saying that he is sick beyond imagination. You never know who's in your midst. You know, he had a job as an architect. But he is demonic and evil and a mass murderer. And so it's bigger than you think. It's there. Your next door neighbor. People in your family. The veil. The veil has covered them from the truth and the love of Jesus. So they are driven to dark, demonic places to do dark and evil things. The movie The Sound of Freedom highlights this. The movie was going to be made and produced and published 5 years ago. But it was stopped. It was stopped. Fox Corporation was going to put the movie out. But 5 years ago, Disney bought Fox. And one of the first things Disney did was stop the movie. We're not putting it out. We're not going to put out a movie that highlights child sex trafficking. Even though our business is about reaching the children through movies and all of this Disney movies and Disney animations, we don't want to put out a movie that shows the truth about the perversion and the child sex trafficking in the world. Does that make sense to you? It's because Disney is a part of that evil. And anyone who takes their child to Disney stuff, I mean, is that what we're supporting? We need to wake up to the realities of this stuff. I mean, from what I hear all the time, people that go to Disney, there's fights all the time at Disneyland, Disney World. They're always fighting. People are fighting, punching each other. It's on camera. Countless videos out there of families fighting each other at Disney World. Why? Because that's where the spirit of the devil is. And yet they stopped the movie 5 years ago and said, no, we don't want to put that out. No. And it was Angel Studios that came along and said, we'll put the movie out for you. Sound of Freedom. Disney has the veil. Others have the veil. And so we can just say, that's just business. No, it's the business of the devil. You see, sin doesn't want itself to be exposed. Who would want to cover this up? This is meant to be exposed a long time ago. And you can never suppress sin. Achan tried that in the camp of the Jews out in the wilderness when he took something that didn't belong to him. And Joshua said, don't take nothing from the enemy. And he took it. What did he do? He hid it under his tent. And God told him, somebody has been unfaithful. And they took it. And it cost his whole family dearly. Why? Because that greed that it was in his heart to take something when the Lord said, don't take any plunder from the enemy. He took it, he sinned, and he hid that sin under his tent, and God narrowed it down to the tent and said, that is the one who does not belong amongst you, because his sin has now exposed itself. Eventually, sin will reveal itself. You can be in sin for a long time, but eventually, it finds you out. It comes back to the surface. There's nothing you can do to stop it from exposing. Nothing. Nothing. And so, this is the signs of the end times. This is the signs of the end times. And so, with that in mind, I want you to really say, the veil has been removed. I am a believer of Jesus Christ. Everything I do is about Jesus. It's for Jesus. It's because of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Either you're with me or you're not. Either you're with the Lord or you're not. Either I'm with the Lord or we're not. We choose Jesus today. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. When you walk out those doors, you know that that world is going to come against you. But greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. And his name is
Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Give God praise in his house.